Welcome back to Elvis the Man, his music and his life, as told by his friends and in his own words. Elvis, by the late 50s, just before he entered the Army, had proven to be the box office king. When he came back, after his 2 years serving in Germany in the Army, he was back in Hollywood making movies, and once again, he was the king. What did I say? Elvis, the king of rock and roll, now the king of the box office. Speaking of what did I say, Elvis included that in one of his movies, Viva Las Vegas. Elvis's version. I think we need to go ahead and play the original by Ray Charles from 1959. It was a two-part song on each side of the record on the single, but part two got most of the play. Ray Charles, and what did I say? It ended just like that back in 1959, and Elvis more or less ended it the same way in the movie. When we talk about the movie formula, by 1963, Elvis had it down pat. A lot of songs, enough to make an album, one or two, maybe three, might even be single material. But who cares? Because Elvis was king of the box office. The money was rolling in. RCA, Colonel Tom Parker, and Elvis knew that they couldn't always just hold on to this formula with the movies. So they still released some singles that were not in movies. Here is one of those from 1963, Devil in Disguise.
Look like an angel,
look like an angel,
walk like an angel,
walk like an angel,
talk like an angel,
but I got one.
Like an angel,
walk like an angel,
talk like an angel,
but I got
'63. It was obvious to everyone who knew Elvis and was around him that Elvis wanted to be known as much more than just a rock and roll singer. And he tried to put, or at least get someone to put inside each movie that he did, a song that would show his talents, something a little more difficult that most people could master. This happened in Viva Las Vegas in 1963. French actor and singer Che Genova tells us about an experience he had with Elvis on the movie set of Viva Las Vegas.
He was singing another Italian song, Santa Lucia, you know this the song. And we worked at it together. I, let's say, coached him for the Italian, and he picked it up in no time, and he sang it without an accent, which is very difficult.
Sul mare luccica l'astro d'argento, placida in l'onda, prospero il vento. Sul mare luccica l'astro d'argento, placida in l'onda, prospero il vento. Venite là di lei, barchetta mia, Santa Lucia, Santa.
This here's the Squeakin' Deacon speaking. Well, sir, neighbors, MGM made a moving picture with Elvis Presley called Kissin' Cousins. Look, kissin' spreads germs.
Yeah, well, make them wear a girdle. I'm gonna go see it.
Folks, you like Elvis Presley playing post office with all them kissin' cousins and singing all them songs that you'll hear on his new RCA Victor album. Don't you dastin' forget MGM's Kissin' Cousins.
Elvis might have had culture in his future, but Colonel Tom Parker, he liked the hillbilly image. It made money for Elvis. Elvis played hillbillies in several movies. By the middle 1960s, Kissin' Cousins was produced by Sam Katzman. No longer the high, slick MGM product or Paramount Pictures, Katzman was known for turning out movies, B-movies, fast. And his formula for Elvis was the same. Interestingly enough, Kissing Cousins did not have one hit song. But the album sold well, and the movie did very well. This assembly line production was not unnoticed by Elvis.
I think Kissin' Cousins was the turning point in the Presley films as far as quick shooting. I think up until that time, certain standards had been performed. But it seemed to me that from Kissin' Cousins on, we were always on a short schedule. I don't remember how many weeks I was on Viva Las Vegas, but it seemed to me I was on Viva Las Vegas for 10 or 11 weeks. But that was the picture just before Kissin' Cousins. We were an awful week or 2 weeks after Viva Las Vegas finished, and boom, we jumped right back into Kissin' Cousins, which was shot in 18 days. From then on, when they realized that they could take this guy and do a film that quickly with him, from then on, we were on a quick picture.
Lance Legault, Elvis's stand-in, as he talks about Elvis and his observations of how Katzman made movies.
He used to mention it off of camera, you know, we might be rehearsing a number, and he'd say maybe something like, we got 2 minutes to get this, we got to get it, you know. Like saying, in effect, you know, the end of the world's going to come if we don't finish this. Here we are again, behind the eight ball, always in a hurry, big deal. We'll do it. You know. But he never said that to a choreographer, a director, production people, or anything like that. But that's what he would say to... Well, that's what he said to me.
Cousins, kissing cousins, kissing's allowed, cause we're proud to be cousins. What to the teaser?
The director of Kissing Cousins, Dean Nelson, also had some comments about Elvis and his reaction to this new assembly line technique.
One day, I was really uptight. It wasn't going as well this particular day or the last couple of days. And I was being leaned on by upstairs, and he was very quick to recognize it. I try not to show it on the set when I'm working, but I was rather bugged. And he felt that under these terrible conditions, he wasn't being given an opportunity to do it as well as he could. And so he came to me, and he said, look, if you need more time, I can very easily get a sudden attack of some kind of sickness to give you a little time to pull everything together. And I laughed and thanked him very, very much, because it was a very sweet thought.
One thing you have to say, Elvis's movies had interesting settings. The World's Fair in Seattle, Las Vegas, Nevada, Hawaii, down to Acapulco as well. He played all kinds of roles, hillbillies, even a roustabout in a carnival. When it came to variety, Elvis's movies had more variety than a carnival sideshow.
I went and bought myself a ticket, and I sat down in the very first row. They pulled the curtain, but then when they turned the spotlight way down low, little Egypt came out strutting, wearing nothing but a button and a bow. Texas on a toe. She let her hair down and she did the hoochie coochie real slow. When she did her special number on a zebra skin, I thought she stopped the show. Singing, yeah. Trip
flip her somersault, and when she hit the ground, she winked at the audience, and then she turned around. She had a picture of a cowboy tattooed on her spine, said in Phoenix, Arizona, 1949. Yeah. Let me tell you people, little Egypt doesn't dance there anymore. She's too busy mopping and taking care of her store. Cause we got 7 kids and all day long they crawl around the floor.
Co-writer of Little Egypt, Jerry Lieber, tells us about how the music was selected for the movies that Elvis made. Lieber should know he had a dozen songs by Elvis, most of them from the movies. Listen to how this was done.
The scripts were usually given to 3 or 4 or 5 teams of writers. It was almost done on a competition basis. And so the scripts would go around, and different writers would write their best ideas for the moment.
Almost everyone agrees that the movie songs became very disappointing as time went along for Elvis, and it appeared that even he was disappointed as well. Here's record producer Bones Howe.
Although Elvis would pick the songs, he would pick the songs from what they gave him to pick from, and his choice, I guess, got more and more limited, and he began to lose interest in what it was that he was doing in the movies. I suspected that in this business of coming to Hollywood to make the movies that he's made, that he'd probably gotten very disenchanted with cameras, because you see one film and you've seen them all, and you can tell that they said, here, Elvis, you read this line, and then the girl will say, and then you'll say, and then you walk over there, and then you get in the car, whatever. And he was just walking through the motions of doing it. He was obviously quite uninvolved.
Once again, Lance Legault, he had some insight into this procedure as well. And it wasn't good.
These situations that he was thrown into where, you know, the script read like dialogue, 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 number, dialogue, 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 number. And they would give you the title of the number. So you'd have to go get the lyrics and look at the read the script up to that point and try to put something together that made some sense.
Many of these songs, frankly, sucked. And you have to hand it to Elvis for being able to sell the song at all. All kinds of strange subjects for the songs. Even the Fort Lauderdale Chamber of Commerce.
Girls on the beaches commit a sin if they don't show yards and yards of skin. Preceding message to you has been through the courtesy of the Fort Lauderdale Chamber of Commerce.
One of the big Hollywood mysteries, how did all those songs that stuck get into the Elvis Presley movies? No one seemed to like them, not Elvis, and not even the movie directors. Listen to Don Spiegel, who directed Elvis and Flaming Star.
The fact that when you're doing a picture with Elvis Presley, that all the studio is interested in and the amount of songs he's going to sing, means that it's very difficult to get him to play a part that you're not building up to a song. And if you could hire Elvis Presley to play a straight part without having to worry about his golden voice and gyrations of the hip, I think he could do the most wonderful
director part. Phil Carlton about Elvis and his talent for acting.
There's no doubt that he would be exceptional as a straight dramatic actor, because he had a chance to prove it, Kid Galahad. We had two wonderful, fine actors in the picture, Gig Young and Charlie Bronson, and both of them are finished pros. I might say that Elvis held more than his own with both of them, and that's about the finest recommendation I could give.
By all accounts, Elvis did some mediocre material in the 60s for the movies, but when he was in a recording studio and he liked the material, he was a perfectionist. Here's Alan Fortis.
Oh, we'd just sit around, joke around, or talk, or he'd get wound up on a song and keep doing the same song over and over till he felt he had it right. No one else could tell He would finish the song, and the engineer would look at him and say, "That was perfect, Elvis. Perfect. It's ready to be pressed." He'd say, "Let's do it again." And only he could tell where there was some little thing in his voice or something he didn't like on the soundtrack, and he'd redo it.
Every time you look at me, I'm as helpless as can be. I become a puppet on a string. You can do most anything with me. All you do is touch my hand, and your wish is my command. I become a puppet on a string, and you can do most anything with me. If you really love me, darling, please be kind. I offer you the truest love that you will ever find. Take my heart and please be fair. Handle it with loving care. For I'm just a puppet on a string. You can do most anything with me. If you really love me, darling, please be kind. I offer you the truest love that you will ever find. Take my heart and please be fair. Handle it with loving care. For I'm just a puppet on a string. You can do most anything with me. You can do most anything with me.
As you can see, not all movie songs by Elvis were stinkers. You're listening to Elvis, the man, his music, and his words, as told by his friends and associates. I'm Jerry Piffin.